very much. Numbers chapter number 15 tonight. Numbers chapter 15. I want to read two verses, then go to another scripture found in Proverbs chapter 1. Numbers chapter 15 and verses 30 and 31. Verses 30 and 31. And notice what it says, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches the Lord, and that soul should be cut off from among his people. That doing something presumptuous, pretty dangerous. Really? It helps us, by the way, understand the meaning of that word. And I believe the next verse can help us a little bit. It says, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. As we think about Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And there's where we oftentimes stop. Listen to the latter part. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's one thing I believe fools have in common. They despise authority. Whether it be God, as we found in Numbers 15 and verse 31, where it talks about despising the word of the Lord, or a parent. In Proverbs, we find it speaks of both the father and the mother. In chapter 15, it says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And he goes on, chapter 15, and verse 20, says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Interesting thoughts. Another, I believe, of those that they despise are God's messengers. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, and verse number 12, it says, and the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. Interesting thoughts. One who does presumptuously. Basically, that is one who knows what is right and is not going to do it in spite of that. Their despiteful attitude is most often displayed by what they say. We find many verses in the book of Proverbs that speak of this. Chapter 15, verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now, when we think about this proverb, I believe that we need to see that the key to it is the qualifying adverb aright. He that useth knowledge aright. A wise man speaks knowledge acceptably, but a fool prats on and on without knowing what he is saying. Everlasting nonsense. Understand something tonight. You can say the wrong thing. No doubt you've done that. You can say the right thing the wrong way. No doubt you've experienced that. Or you can say the right thing at the wrong time. Time is important with what we say. Or we can say the right thing to the wrong person. Sometimes it's not wise to say some things to certain people. Wisdom learns what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and to whom we are to say it. Truth is not enough. And we need to learn how to use that truth. Fools babble on without regard to those four factors of godly speech. And they become irreprehensible. Solomon taught often that speech is one of the most obvious signs of wisdom or folly. In Proverbs chapter 10, and I'm going to read three or four verses here. Verse 18 says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." In another place in Proverbs, he says in chapter 15, verse 28, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Again in Proverbs 17, he says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." There's a talk about how we say it. "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." If you're a fool and keep quiet, people think that you're wise. The only problem with that is fools can't keep quiet. They go on and on. The fool's lips, it says in chapter 18, enter into contention, his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Again, in chapter 29, verse 11, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterward." Learning what to say and when to say it is one of the keys to success in any venture. It is important we learn that. One of the problems that young people have is they tell the truth, but sometimes they don't know when to tell it. And sometimes it gets them in trouble, but they have to learn those kinds of things. Fools destroy relationships by talking too much about too little. You ever get to the spot with certain people, you just don't want to get close to them because you don't want to hear it? You cringe every time you see them coming around. All others hear about from these is their time-warmed opinions and their feelings. But the wise man speaks aright, which means rightly, means correctly, means properly. His speech is gracious. How important I believe that is. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Let your speech be always with grace." How often? Always. What does God mean by always? All the time. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Not just the answer, but how to do it. In Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12 says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself." As God's people, our words ought to always be gracious. But sometimes we're not because we play the fool. By the way, this was the way the Lord did things. It tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" They marveled at his gracious speech, how he talked to them. It's very important. The wise man listens and thinks before he speaks. He knows that being hasty in his speech marks him as a fool. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:20, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." All of our speech must be without offense to Jesus Christ. But many times we are offensive in our language to others. The sad thing about a fool is that they believe they know it all already, and they need not another that is in authority whom they normally despise to teach them. And thus we read in Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. In other words, it's all about him. It's not about serving. It's not about ministering to others. We find that we can become presumptuous. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Those last few words really captured my thought. Speaking evil of dignities. I want to ask you a question tonight. What's one of the titles that you have as a Christian? What did you say?
Ambassador.
That's the term I'm actually looking for. But we can be what? Many other things. We're a child of the King. But a child of God is an ambassador. And think about that. Is that not a dignitary? And so as we're looking at each other, a child of God's an ambassador. They are one that are in this realm of dignity. And so a Christian who speaks evil or in an evil way to a fellow Christian are among those who are presumptuous fools. And by the way, when we do that, we take the place of Satan. In Revelation 12, verse 10, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And oftentimes, what do? When we are speaking evil against dignities, what are we doing? We're accusing of certain things and who knows what. And we're taking the place of the devil. We need to remember something. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Is it important what we say? Is it important how we say it? Very much so. And by the way, men, women look at our facial expressions more than listening to the actual words. And that's the way you say it. I've gotten in trouble saying the truth because I had a stupid look on my face. Because I said it in the wrong manner. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Is that what God wants in our life? Definitely. Definitely. And so God wants us to understand that our speech is something that can help people or it can hurt people. In Titus chapter 3, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. I think especially those words there, speak evil of no man. And we're so prone to do that. We need to be aware that we not be a presumptuous fool. Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of an evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. The presumptuous fool needs to be aware. I ask two questions tonight. Are you a fool? Are you presumptuous? The area we can look at to determine at the most is in what and how we speak to people. What we say and how we say it. You understand tonight, I've stood in this pulpit and said things that were truthful, but I was angry. It's not very well received when that happens. Matter of fact, it just makes people angry. So it's not just what you say, but how you say it. The manner in which it comes forth. The last thing that we want to do is hurt people. And our speech can do that so, so quickly. And so we look back at our very first scripture, the soul that doeth aught presumptuously. It's the guy who's despised the word of God and hath broken his commandments. And I believe especially in the area of how we speak to others. And God says that soul shall utterly be cut off. We bear that iniquity. Let us pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, forgive us when we speak evil and we do not have proper speech, do not have proper manner in which to do it. Lord, I pray that when we do, that you would smite us, that we might recognize it, and we might make it right, that we might have the proper kind of speech one with another. For we know tonight that brothers and sisters in Christ, they don't need told off. They need lifted up. And so I pray that you might work and bless in every heart and life. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. Interesting thoughts. One who does presumptuously. Basically, that is one who knows what is right and is not going to do it in spite of that. Their despiteful attitude is most often displayed by what they say. We find many verses in the book of Proverbs that speak of this. Chapter 15, verse 2 says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Now, when we think about this proverb, I believe that we need to see that the key to it is the qualifying adverb aright. He that useth knowledge aright. A wise man speaks knowledge acceptably, but a fool prats on and on without knowing what he is saying. Everlasting nonsense. Understand something tonight. You can say the wrong thing. No doubt you've done that. You can say the right thing the wrong way. No doubt you've experienced that. Or you can say the right thing at the wrong time. Time is important with what we say. Or we can say the right thing to the wrong person. Sometimes it's not wise to say some things to certain people. Wisdom learns what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and to whom we are to say it. Truth is not enough. And we need to learn how to use that truth. Fools babble on without regard to those four factors of godly speech, and they become irreprehensible. Solomon taught often that speech is one of the most obvious signs of wisdom or folly. In Proverbs chapter 10, and I'm going to read three or four verses here. Verse 18 says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." In another place in Proverbs, he says in chapter 15, verse 28, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Again in Proverbs 17, he says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." There's a talk about how we say it. "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." If you're a fool and keep quiet, people think that you're wise. The only problem with that is fools can't keep quiet. They go on and on. The fool's lips, it says in chapter 18, enter into contention, his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Again, in chapter 29, verse 11, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterward." Learning what to say and when to say it is one of the keys to success in any venture. It is important we learn that. One of the problems that young people have is they tell the truth, but sometimes they don't know when to tell it. And sometimes it gets them in trouble, but they have to learn those kinds of things. Fools destroy relationships by talking too much about too little. You ever get to the spot with certain people, you just don't want to get close to them because you don't want to hear it? You cringe every time you see them coming around. All others hear about from these is their timed, warmed opinions and their feelings. But the wise man speaks aright, which means rightly, means correctly, means properly. His speech is gracious. How important I believe that is. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Let your speech be always with grace." How often? Always. What does God mean by always? All the time. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Not just the answer, but how to do it. In Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12 says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself." As God's people, our words ought to always be gracious. But sometimes we're not because we play the fool. By the way, this was the way the Lord did things. It tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" They marveled at his gracious speech, how he talked to them. It's very important. The wise man listens and thinks before he speaks. He knows that being hasty in his speech marks him as a fool. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:20, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." All of our speech must be without offense to Jesus Christ. But many times we are offensive in our language to others. The sad thing about a fool is that they believe they know it all already, and they need not another that is in authority whom they normally despise to teach them. And thus we read in Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. In other words, it's all about him. It's not about serving. It's not about ministering to others. We find that we can become presumptuous. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Those last few words really captured my thought. Speaking evil of dignities. I want to ask you a question tonight. What's one of the titles that you have as a Christian? What did you say?
Ambassador.
That's the term I'm actually looking for. But we can be what? Many other things. We're a child of the King. But a child of God is an ambassador. And think about that. Is that not a dignitary? And so as we're looking at each other, a child of God's an ambassador. They are one that are in this realm of dignity. And so a Christian who speaks evil or in an evil way to a fellow Christian are among those who are presumptuous fools. And by the way, when we do that, we take the place of Satan. In Revelation 12, verse 10, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And oftentimes, what do? When we are speaking evil against dignities, what are we doing? We're accusing of certain things and who knows what. And we're taking the place of the devil. We need to remember something. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Is it important what we say? Is it important how we say it? Very much so. And by the way, men, women look at our facial expressions more than listening to the actual words. And that's the way you say it. I've gotten in trouble saying the truth because I had a stupid look on my face. Because I said it in the wrong manner. See? Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Is that what God wants in our life? Definitely. Definitely. And so God wants us to understand that our speech is something that can help people or it can hurt people. In Titus chapter 3, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. I think especially those words there, speak evil of no man. And we're so prone to do that. We need to be aware that we not be a presumptuous fool. Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of an evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. The presumptuous fool needs to be aware. I ask two questions tonight. Are you a fool? Are you presumptuous? The area we can look at to determine at the most is in what and how we speak to people. What we say and how we say it. You understand tonight, I've stood in this pulpit and said things that were truthful, but I was angry. It's not very well received when that happens. Matter of fact, it just makes people angry. So it's not just what you say, but how you say it. The manner in which it comes forth. The last thing that we want to do is hurt people. And our speech can do that so, so quickly. And so we look back at our very first scripture, the soul that doeth aught presumptuously. It's the guy who's despised the word of God and hath broken his commandments. And I believe especially in the area of how we speak to others. And God says that soul shall utterly be cut off. We bear that iniquity. Let us pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, forgive us when we speak evil and we do not have proper speech, do not have proper manner in which to do it. Lord, I pray that when we do, that you would smite us, that we might recognize it, and we might make it right, that we might have the proper kind of speech one with another. For we know tonight that brothers and sisters in Christ, they don't need told off. They need lifted up. And so I pray that you might work and bless in every heart and life. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.